This is Joanna Schrader reporting for AgWire.com, and I am at Farm Progress 2014 in Boone, Iowa. And I am so excited. I am with Pete Nowak, and you are with Ag Informatics, but you are also an emeritus professor at University of Wisconsin-Madison. Pete, how are you?
I'm just fine, Joanna. Thank you for asking.
Well, I'm a little bit rude, but this is what happens when you're a reporter. I overheard your interview with somebody else, and I heard the word science and insecticide, and I got all excited and made you sit in my chair. So we are talking about something, honestly, I knew nothing about, but you did a major study, and they're neonicotinoids.
That's correct.
And the first thing I should ask you is, what is that?
Well, a neonicotinoid is a compound, and there's a number of different types, specific types of neonicotinoids. These are insecticides. They're the broadest use insecticide that's used in the world.
Okay.
It's used on almost all the corn and soybean crops here in the United States and Canada, as well as a number of the other major commodity crops. The way it's used on many of those crops is it's coated, the seed itself, when they plant the seed, it's coated with the neonicotinoid compound,
okay,
and then it becomes systemic in the plant once it grows. So the insecticide is internal to the plant,
okay,
and the only way you're going to have impacts is if an insect bites the plant, starts chewing on the plant, the insect will then die.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Now, you said these are used all around the world,
yes,
but it's my understanding before we started this interview was that they're regulated differently in different
countries?
Very
much so. I mean, you have a number of different groups that try and, well, they do. They control the use of pesticides. Here, what we're focusing on are two agencies in particular. In the United States, it's the Environmental Protection Agency, and in Canada, it's the Pesticide Management Regulatory Authority, the PMRA, which is like an EPA, except it's in Canada. Those two are looking at neonicotinoids now as part of a re-registration process, and they realize we just don't have good data on the benefits, how important these insecticides are. And I think the companies that are funding this study also recognize that. And so in an unprecedented move, you find the companies coming together. When I say the companies, I'm talking about Syngenta, I'm talking about Bayer, I'm talking about Valent, and I'm talking about Mitsui. Those four companies all came together and said, we can generate data on the benefits of neonicotinoids, but a lot of people would question our results. They think we're biased. So we're going to farm it out. We're going to hire an independent consulting firm to do this research for us. And that's where Ag Informatics and myself come into the picture. We're going to do the research. We're going to give it to the companies. They, in turn, are going to give it to the EPA and the PMRA.
Now, Pete, talk a little bit about how this study is going to be structured.
Well, the study is going to be structured to answer the question relative to the benefits. And if you're going to look at the benefits, there's different ways you can do it. You do what some people call, you know, here's a good big academic term, a counterfactual analysis. You know, that's a 25-cent term you can put in your pocket. A counterfactual analysis is just saying, let's assume a certain situation or scenario occurs and then try and understand what would happen there. So one way of figuring out what the benefits are is, let's assume neonicotinoids aren't there anymore.
Okay.
What would happen to agriculture if we didn't have neonicotinoids? And we quantified that. So we went out and said, if neonicotinoids aren't there, farmers are going to have to start using this compound and that compound, and they're going to use it at this rate. And what's the cost with that? What's the environmental implications of that? How effective is pest control with it? So all those issues are all wrapped up in these technical reports that we're going to be delivering to the regulatory agencies.
Well, I have two questions. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but you were talking about how you've got, you know, what happens from an economic perspective, what happens from an environmental perspective, you know, at what cost.
Yes.
For example, if the scenario is we don't have these insecticides. So when you're looking at this report, some of the criticism is, well, the true cost is never calculated,
mm-hmm,
right? So it's part of this study, when you're giving those true cost numbers, will you be factoring a number in that calculates all these different things that are negatively affected by not using insecticides?
besides a very traditional economic analysis based on econometric modeling, actually we're using a model called AgSim, which looks at the whole U.S. agricultural situation. So if you start taking away the insecticides, what's going to happen is the crops are going to shift. So many acres are going to go into this because they can no longer grow that because the insect.
Okay.
So this model tracks all that and says what's the cost, calculates hard dollars. But in addition to that, we also conducted an analysis, what they call evaluation techniques or non-market valuation techniques, where we go in and we say, what's the importance of this? We can't always put dollars and cents on it,
right.
So we say, if this was not there, or if you had to do this, what would be the cost in your time or the way you run your operation? We interviewed over 10,000 farmers, growers, residents on neonicotinoids. An important part of that was this non-market valuation, where we begin to understand just how important these products are to the American and the Canadian farmer.
Well, let me play devil's advocate
sure.
for a minute, Pete, and ask you the question of, are you also looking at some of the just general negative of insecticides? You know, insecticides aren't perfect. We have no perfect technology, unfortunately. You know, we wish we did. But are you taking that into account as well in the study?
Well, to the extent that any farmer, any grower, is constantly managing this very, I would call it, dynamic, almost stochastic, random situation, the way pests occur, you know, pests are very dynamic in space and time, and it's very hard to predict. And so a good farmer is always trying to use the tools available that lower the risk of damages. So how do you lower risk in a way that you aren't having these other impacts or negative consequences you're talking about? One of the most important ways of doing it is using a very targeted pesticide, in this case a neonicotinoid, where only those insects that bite the plant are influenced. So if you have a bumblebee or other pollinators land on that plant and take the pollen, they aren't impacted. They're not biting the plant. They're not chewing the plant. So it doesn't. So it has little or no impact on the larger environment, just the pests that are causing damages to the plant. So that way, it's a very targeted, and that's what we try and do with the use of insecticides. We try and target it. We also try and use something called integrated pest management, which is the idea that you engage in various analytical diagnostic techniques, and then you only use these if it shows it's needed in an economic way.
Oh, okay.
And so that's part of it also. And so farmers are saying, look, you take neonicotinoids away, we're not going to be able to do much of that anymore.
Well, from an outsider to some extent looking in, I didn't grow up on a farm, and I don't work on a farm now, but in my mind, if you remove technologies like insecticide, it's going to lower our yields per bushel, which we can't afford when we have to feed 7 billion people. And you mentioned to me that the EU in particular has banned the use of these neonicotinoids. Are you seeing lower yields in Europe?
You know, that's a fascinating, because part of this whole controversy in terms of pollinators and neonicotinoids, it really emerged in the EU first, the European Union. And I think they really jumped before the science is in place in terms of documenting, because what's causing that is a very complex issue. Neonics are part of it, very definitely, but there's also mites that are available or that are causing damage. And these are little, again, pests, except rather than going on plants, they go on bees.
Oh.
And they actually suck the blood of the bees, which weakens them and make them vulnerable to environmental stresses. So these little mites are out there, and they're causing damages. In addition, a lot of the bees are shipped around. They're trucked around constantly, moving from crop to crop to crop. As part of that process, they're often fed sugar water. So you have stressed bees that are vulnerable to mites that may be exposed to neonicotinoids. Now figure out what's causing it. The European Union didn't wait for an answer to that question.
Oh,
they just figured the easy way was to ban neonics. And it's very controversial over there still now because they're not seeing the benefits.
Okay.
The bees are not responding. The number of colonies are not responding. The data just isn't there to say that a ban on neonics is seeing this resurgence in bees. So that happened over there, and it kind of precipitated over here. A number of activist groups have jumped on and said neonics are the answer. They're the cause for colony collapse disorder. And again, the science is very incomplete on that. And so part of this process is understanding benefits in this larger context.
And you met the companies you mentioned that came together with this historic partnership, and then obviously you're an expert on this and help with the research. They're worldwide companies.
Oh, so very much so.
And I know you said that this particular study is, in fact, focusing on North America, so
yes.
Canada and United States. But do you think that there's a possibility that that still could maybe start changing that dialogue in the EU now that we're starting to see some science in the marketplace about cause and effect? Like you said, you know, they were doing this without cause and effect.
Our study does not get into the bee ecology.
Okay.
You know, so we're looking just at the benefits of the neonicotinoids and what would happen if neonicotinoids were taken off the market. The Environmental Protection Agency and a number of other groups are very interested in that underlying science in terms of the role of pollinators in a commercial agricultural setting. So you've got the here on the U.S. side, you've got the USDA, U.S. Department of Agriculture.
Right.
The Agricultural Research Service associated with them is looking at this. I know the Deputy Secretary for Science, she's very interested in funding additional dollars to go out and look at this. So there's a lot of interest by USDA saying we need to look at. Again, I think there's a number of scientists at the land-grant universities that are starting to look at that relationship, but that's not our thing. So the data is starting to accumulate on that, but that's outside the purview of our focus.